Hi, I'm John Paul, and thank you for coming to my channel. Videos of all of the audios that are on this podcast are on my YouTube channel, which is at John Paul Davis TTP. So do take a look at that. There's also a couple of additional videos which haven't made it on as audios to this podcast as well, which you might find helpful or interesting. If you do like the YouTube channel, please do subscribe. That would be amazing. Also, in terms of this podcast, it'd be great if you could follow it, and you'll, of course, then be notified of any future episodes. Also, if you do like the podcast, if you could give it a rating or review, I'd be really grateful. That would be wonderful. And finally, just to say, if there's anything you want to discuss following this podcast, or anything you hear on any of the other podcasts as well, then please do, of course, get in contact with me via my website, www.thistrustedplace.co.uk. There should be a link to that on this podcast page. Thanks again for coming to the channel, and I really hope you enjoy the episode. Hi, I'm John Paul, and a really warm welcome back to my YouTube channel. What I wanted to talk about today is loneliness and relationships, friendships, and loneliness in relationships and friendships potentially. The reason for that, timing-wise, is that I've just contributed to an article or a dilemma column, Annalisa Barbieri's dilemma column in The Guardian, Ask Annalisa. And the dilemma was about somebody who's experiencing loneliness and how they might get through it, and any ideas that we might have for that. So, of course, Annalisa writes the main thing, and I also contributed to it. So I'll put a link to that when it comes out. That will be in the next week or two, under this video. But in the meantime, I thought it was such a big subject, such an important subject, that I thought I would do this video on it. And what I'm going to do is to give five tips or five pieces of advice in relation to loneliness and overcoming loneliness, and particularly making friends and sort of deepening existing relationships. The first thing I wanted to say is that if you look at definitions of loneliness, or if you Google it, there's an amount when loneliness comes up. They talk about it in terms of social contact and having contact with people, and of course, saying hello to somebody in the high street, talking to somebody briefly in a coffee shop, can absolutely make somebody feel less lonely. So contact is something that can be really helpful in terms of reducing loneliness. I think, as ever though, and it's a recurring theme throughout all my videos, the thing that I think reduces loneliness most is connection with ourselves, and which I'll come on to, and connection with other human beings, and loneliness being a state of disconnection from ourselves, but also other people. So that if we're looking at getting through loneliness and feeling less lonely, what we need to be looking at, as well as contact, and I guess sometimes the number of people that we're around, is actually the quality of the relationships, the quality of the friendships that we are engaged in with people. And when I talk about quality, one of the main things I talk about and thinking about is the amount of ourselves, our thought, feeling, body, behavioural energy, but particularly feelings, perhaps thoughts, that we're able to show another person within the relationship. So it's looking at things like intimacy here, the amount of ourselves that we will show to another, how much we trust other people with ourselves, with all aspects of ourselves, because certainly we can be in situations where we're around other people consistently, constantly. We may even live with people who we might feel lonely around, because, for example, which is one that I would commonly see, our felt experience of things is not attuned to, seen, heard within that relationship. And in order to feel connected to other people, I do think we need relationships in our lives where all of us is accepted, loved, valued within the relationship. So let's look as well in terms of not just the number of people that we're around and who we're talking to, but also the degree to which we're able to show all parts of ourselves in relationship. There's something said about loneliness, which is it's not having people around us physically, it's being able to talk about the things that are important to us. And for some people, they're not able to share things intellectually, for example, and then that part will be left lonely. But for a lot of people, it's often their felt experience and actually particular feelings where they might be left lonely. So joy, excitement may be acceptable in relationship, but sadness, fear, anger may not be acceptable in a particular relationship. And if that's the case, if we can't bring it into relationship, then it is left lonely. And that's a really important thing to bear in mind. I think it's a lot more nuanced, this issue of loneliness and friendship and connection, than just being, as I say, around people physically, practically. We need to be thinking in terms of how much of ourselves we can show, how much of ourselves is seen, heard, accepted. So think about the extent to which you can talk about the things that are important to you, and that includes what you feel about things, and making sure that that is accepted, attuned to, seen, validated in relationship. We really do need relationships in our lives where we absolutely believe and have experience of there's nothing that we can think, feel and bring into the relationship that would mean that the connection would come to an end. And we have to have actual experience of that. And if we don't believe that, I think to a degree we can still be lonely and feel lonely in relationship. I would hear, meet a lot of people, very intellectually stimulating, really connect with people intellectually, very funny, bring a lot of that. They look like the most popular people in the room, really hold the room, really feel like they're enjoying themselves in relation to others, would say they're very much people are, in terms, in many ways, very good around people. But the thing is, if they have any kind of aversion or split or disconnection from what they feel, and therefore, or certain particular feelings like their pain, and therefore don't bring them into relationship, and therefore experience other people's pain or distress in a way that they turn away or invalidate, that is going to leave that part of them lonely. They may not know why they feel lonely in a room full of people, but that can be a reason why. So I think it, as I say, is much more nuanced than just people to have fun with in life. We need to be looking at all aspects of ourselves holistically, all aspects of other people, and making sure that there is true connection in at least some relationships in our lives. Of course, there are relationships that are just going to be about fun. There are relationships that are just going to be about competition and winning. Maybe some people like to socialise through sport, through golf and that kind of thing. And there's the banter backwards and forwards about being better than, less than. There's a space for everything in life. I do think, though, we absolutely need a place, space, relationships in which we have full connection, intimacy, trust, vulnerability with other beings for all parts of ourselves. If you look at secrecy around, say, sexual identity, gender identity, those things, someone can be very much around a lot of people, appearing to have a lot of fun, appearing to have a lot of friends. But if those things are kept hidden, are kept out of the way, that part of them is alone. And if you're looking at something as important as your gender, your sexuality, you know, it's a very significant part to be alone. So that's the first thing I would say. I think it's important to look at connection and think of it in those ways rather than just contact with other people. The second thing is looking at the kind of format for connection, you know, as far as making new friends and coming into relationship with people. There's a very common suggestion: if somebody says that they are lonely, other people will say to them, well, what you need to do is join a group of people, have a common interest and go and join a group. And there are lots of great things about that as a suggestion. You will be part of something bigger, which of course reduces feelings of loneliness being around other people. You will potentially meet people who are more likely to be your tribe, more like-minded, because you're looking at something with a shared interest, and that might suggest a more similar personality type. And that's very important here as well. If you're looking to connect, of course, we need shared values. We need to be around people that are different enough that they're interesting, but similar enough that we feel connected to them. If people are too different or see things too differently completely, then we can feel lonely around them, because there isn't necessarily that attunement or connection that we're getting. So just going back to this idea about joining groups, great idea. I remember reading somewhere that if to get through loneliness and make new friends, they suggest joining three local groups, three different things you're interested in, find a local group for each of them, then choose two people from each that you like the best, and then separately invite them out together in a group of six people, and there you have a ready-made group of friends. And I think that is great. Theoretically, it's a great idea. If people can do that, then wonderful. But I don't think it just is about going to meet a new group of friends. There are lots of other ways that we can do this. meeting new people face to face is one way. Another way, of course, can be online. There are plenty of people that have very good social connections with people online. Perhaps they've never even seen them. Certainly, some of the groups on the internet, as far as around trauma, for example, people share their stories. They're typing in their stories, and then other people will respond beneath them. And they may feel more connected to those people by sharing that story and by having that story seen, heard, than they may have done with any face-to-face interaction in a bar or in a restaurant. So there are lots of different ways that we can establish and maintain and deepen connections with other human beings. And social media, the media are great ways to do that. Of course, they are also a way that's really aggravate people's disconnection too. But I would look at them as opportunities. There are tens of millions of people throughout the world, and some of those are going to be your tribe. And we don't always have to be meeting people face to face. We can have very meaningful connections with people, as I say, just writing backwards and forwards. And of course, then it may sort of graduate to some sort of online contact, and maybe even one day face-to-face contact. I will talk about face-to-face contact in a minute. I do think there is an important place for it too with human beings. But yeah, we don't have to be constrained by somebody else's narrative, by looking and comparing ourselves to other people with these big group of friends who they meet in a bar or go on holiday with or whatever. And that's great that they do that. And maybe that is your story. Maybe that is your narrative. But think, I guess, more creatively, potentially. Just be curious about what you enjoy, what you like. You know, bars with large groups of people is not everybody's thing. We're looking at what connection feels like in your body. That's what we're trying to do, is how do you feel connected? That is what reduces loneliness, not social contact, not being in bars or restaurants with people, although of course those things can, but it's about feeling connected. That's what feeling less lonely is about. As I say, be open-minded, be creative here. Online communities, even listening to podcasts. Plenty of people will listen to other people in conversation. With Annalisa, who I mentioned at the beginning, with her article, she's got her Conversations with Annalisa podcast, which is just people talking about various different mental health and emotional well-being issues. And that can feel, if you listen to somebody say something which touches you, you are no longer lonely in that moment. You don't have to be face to face. You don't have to be having interaction with anybody. You are no longer lonely. As I say, YouTube, the same thing. All sorts of things on the media and social media give us opportunities to connect with other people. Plenty of people will say that music makes them feel connected. Books, television, films, anything that touches you, where you can resonate with another human being. I don't think you necessarily have to be having an actual dialogue with them or a face-to-face contact with them. All these things will reduce loneliness, increase connection, reduce disconnection, help you to trust yourself more, help you to trust and connect with others more as well. I mean, I think sort of graduating in some ways onto face-to-face contact somehow is important. I will come on to that. But as I say, be open-minded about it. This is your story, your narrative. It's not for somebody else to say what your social life should look like. This is your mix, your cocktail. This is up to you to decide. And other people have interesting ideas about that. So let's take them in and listen to them. But it's absolutely you who decide what it is that you need and want here. And we don't even have to be looking at people to make us feel less lonely. Lots of people will say that in nature, if they're in nature, they never feel lonely. It's not going to be everybody's experience, but for plenty of people, that will be their experience, to be around something which we are nature, to be connected to it, it's alive. Those things will help people to feel less lonely often. Same thing for pets, animals. Of course, animals are part of nature as we are, but connection with animals is a very important way for lots of people to reduce loneliness and to feel more connected with themselves and the world around them. And that's what we're looking at here, a sort of range of things that are going to help you feel more connected to yourself and the world around you. So moving on next to the third point, that would be, I would sort of summarise this in relation to acceptance and commitment. So the acceptance part of this is when people are lonely, they will often think that it's because there's something wrong with them, and there isn't. We're not lonely because we're defective or there's something wrong with us. There can be a lot of shame around loneliness. We may have struggled to have a good relationship with ourselves and others because of, well, physiologically, human beings have a tendency to do that, and also adverse childhood experiences, trauma, anxiety, depression, all these things that play a part in disconnecting people from themselves and others, and therefore aggravating feelings of loneliness. So there isn't anything that's very human to experience those things. Most people struggle in relationships somehow. If somebody is feeling sort of depressed and lonely, they will look at others and believe they do it much better than them or find it much easier. Most people are struggling to a degree. Relationships do require hard work often to establish and maintain. So firstly, let's accept that this is very human to struggle in this way. There isn't anything wrong with you. Important to have empathy for yourself and kindness and compassion for yourself, because to be irritated, angry, frustrated with yourself, again, it's very human to experience that too. But to continue to do that is just disconnecting from yourself and others, and so will aggravate loneliness. So acceptance, very important, and combining that with some commitment about something new that can be done to overcome it, because it can change. It is a difficult thing to change often, actually making friends, if you're looking at that part of reducing loneliness, because we're not necessarily in control of who we meet and when. Of course, if we put ourselves in lots of social environments, we increase the chances on a numbers game of finding people that are our tribe and have that, going to have that connection with us. But it can be difficult. People do often find it a real struggle, certainly in therapy as well, if that's something they want to change. It can often is not changeable as easy as certain other things. So it could, but the commitment, there are ways in which we can be doing it. So it's to think in terms of what might happen this week, even in a relatively small way, that's going to enhance our sense of connection with ourselves and others. And I've already given a few examples of ways in which that might happen. It might not necessarily be about going up to somebody at work and asking them if they want to go for a drink. There are plenty of other ways that we can connect. I would say, though, if we are going to do something new, if commitment to make a change will often come with some anxiety for people, which is fear-based. And these things about, you know, making new friends and going to talk to new people come with fear for people. That's the thing that stops them. Fear is an obstacle. The behavior that goes with fear is avoidance. So we will need, to a degree, be taking ourselves to a bit of an edge here sometimes, as far as doing something which we might not really want to do, but we're going to feel the fear and do it anyway. As I say, that doesn't necessarily mean going over and inviting somebody out for dinner who we don't particularly know. It can be lots of things, as far as enhancing our relationship with ourselves, dropping a text to somebody who we already know. I'll come on to that next, as far as cultivating existing relationships that are in our lives as a way through this. But we do need to, I think, be thinking about what might be different as well, and be able to tolerate some anxiety around doing these new things, but make it easy for yourself. Make it as easy for yourself as you can. If you're looking at going to a work function and the whole idea of 4 hours of an evening is just too overwhelming, then you can set narrow the time and just say you'll be there for half an hour, 40 minutes, and just say that you will ask one person one more question, slightly deepen the relationship more than you would have done before. That will be the thing that you do this evening, or just try to enjoy it. We don't have to be going into every new situation putting the pressure on ourselves to make this person or someone our new best friend. This is about deepening our connection with ourselves and our connection with others, our trust of ourselves and others. And of course, as I've said, pets, the world around us, nature, all those things are going to help with reducing feelings of loneliness. So go gently. As I say, make it easy on yourself. Some people will like doing activities with people. So doing things where you are not necessarily having face-to-face contact. So suggesting walks, as I say, particular activities that you might enjoy doing with somebody, you can suggest them. They can feel less overwhelming than sitting opposite somebody in a restaurant or in a bar. In Annalisa's column, she suggests cooking with people online, for example. You know, a lot of people, because people have moved around the world now or into different parts of the country, as happens much more than I'm sure it did hundreds of years ago, can lose connection with important people to them and feel lonely because of that. of course, as I've said, with media, social media, let's take advantage of technology here. And if a face-to-face connection with somebody online feels a bit too confronting to start doing that, she suggests, you know, you can cook with somebody online, you can do something creative. There are online groups where people create and create art and paint. They're not even saying that much to other people, but it substantially reduces people's feelings of loneliness because you are part of something, whether it's face-to-face, online, whatever it is, and you know, you're creating something which is reflecting back to yourself, your competency, your skills, which is connecting with self, and also you're seeing somebody else do that too, which is connecting with another person. Just to say here, and I did say I was going to talk about it a bit earlier, which is about face-to-face contact. I'm talking a lot about the extent to which we can use technology, media, social media, in order to make ourselves feel less lonely and really try and establish, maintain, cultivate, deepen relationships and friendships with people. I do think there is something important about face-to-face contact with human beings as well. So I think that really ought to be somewhere part of people's mix. There's very much things that we get from face-to-face contact that we can't get in quite the same way from online or email with face-to-face contact. I mean, I say it's face-to-face, but the important thing, I think, when we're in a room with somebody is that sort of whole body contact with there's lots of non-verbal cues and communications that are going backwards and forwards with people, which really help people to feel connected and remain in connection. And often we have to be face to face with somebody in order to do that. There's very much, you know, what a hug can do, the touch on the arm, that sort of physical contact, a touch on the hand, those things can only come with face to face contact and really keep ourselves in connection, great ways of getting in connection with ourselves and also other people. So I really would try and bear in mind and hold in mind that face-to-face connection, I would try and aim for that to be at least somewhere as part of the mixture here as far as reducing loneliness and increasing these connections. Just added on to that though, going back to the online and going back to the email, there is a disinhibition effect that comes with talking online and also talking to somebody either on the phone or typing in a way that you can't see somebody. Of course, you miss the face-to-face stuff, but it is disinhibiting for people. They'll find it much easier to say things and share things that are difficult sometimes when they can't see somebody. And that can be great. That can be really, you know, sometimes people will only be able to say the unsayable to another human being by typing it. Sometimes people can only say the unsayable, what I mean, something that's previously been unsayable on the telephone. So use all these things, use all these ways, just see what works for you. Some people are very much like that face-to-face contact. Some people, you know, have a preference or really enjoy something more either online or typing or telephone. So it's about how you are going to increase your feelings of connection, as I say, with yourself and others. And it's not for somebody else to prescribe what that should be. Moving on to the fourth one, I would say, again, in terms of in some ways making it easier for yourself in order to feel less lonely and enhance these connections, cultivating existing relationships can be something that's often missed. We might often look at, well, how are you going to meet all these new people? Well, it may be that you're in relationship with people and there is absolutely the potential for a significantly more depth, a significantly more intimacy, vulnerability and trust than you've ever believed is possible. We tend to relate to people in very unconscious ways, real patterns of behaviour that we've got into. 80% of what we do is unconscious potentially, that's going to include how we relate in relationships, and we might never have believed that it would be okay to share this part of us with this person. And there may of course be good reason for that. There might have been reasons why we don't bring our felt experience or our sadness or our fear into relationship with somebody who we've known for decades, because that is not what they do. We have fun with them or whatever it might be, or share humour. I would here though, I would err on the side of trying to trust people some more, and that would include people that you've known for a long time. There may absolutely be opportunities to share more of yourself in relationship with people that you've known for decades, as I say, really deepening existing relationships and feeling less lonely and more connected that way. Okay, so the last point, and it's by no means the least point, in some ways it should be running alongside all of these other points, I might even put it first, and that is to focus very much on your own psychological state and your relationship with yourself. You know, things that people get diagnosed with: anxiety, depression, narcissism. Don't get diagnosed with narcissism. Well, you might if you go on Google. Chronic anger, addictions, they are all states of disconnection, all lead to loneliness. They're potentially all causes of loneliness and symptoms of loneliness. Let's take anxiety, for example. If I am consistently anxious, I do not have a grounded sense of my worth and value. It potentially goes hand in hand with low self-esteem, with not knowing who I am, with only seeing myself through a problem focus, and actually only seeing other people at times through a problem focus. And from that point of view, that makes deepening relationships very difficult. And if my internal relationship is one of criticism, when I'm alone with myself, I will feel very alone on my own. If you know, I won't enjoy solitude. Sometimes the person that can make us feel most alone is that part of us, is the very critical part of us. So we really need to pay attention to, in relationship with self, how we can be a good friend to ourselves. And then if you're looking in relationship with other people, you know, we need to know who we are when we're going into relationships with others. And in order to that will be an antidote to anxiety, to depression, and those things. We need to know who we are. We need to know what we value about ourselves. We need to know why we would be a good friend to other people. Why would somebody love us? Why would somebody like us? Would we love or like us? Would we want to be in a friendship with us? These are all really important questions, and we can do all of that through talking to other people about it. We can find out more about that through, you know, podcasts and reading, therapy, of course. But it's very important to be paying attention here, taking that step inwards if we do feel lonely about our relationship with ourselves. Because again, we can be in a room full of 100 people, but if somebody's anxiety is dominating and telling them, why did they say that? That person doesn't like you. They looked at that person because they prefer them to you. And then when you leave, I made a mistake. That person didn't like what I said. That leaves you feeling very lonely. So it's very important to be looking at that part of ourselves, however you might frame it, whatever label it might have been given: anxiety, depression, narcissism, anger, the addictions, of course. You know, if somebody's addicted, their primary relationship is going to be with a substance or behaviour. That's a very lonely place to be. So managing addictions to come back into relationship with yourself, come back into relationships with other people, is going to be a very important part of this work. And really, if you're looking at that work, one of the ways in which to overcome addictions, to overcome anxiety, depression, chronic anger, narcissism, is through trusting, intimate, vulnerable relationships with other people. A lot of the harm that causes those sorts of states in human beings comes from relationships, things that happen to them in early relationship, as I've said in other videos as well. And the way through it is through relationship, is through friendships. So just to sum up, as I say, it's very important that we do overcome loneliness, and we do what we can to get into good, fulfilling, meaningful relationships. Some of them are going to be just about fun, some of them might be about competition, but let's really pay attention to the degree of connection that we feel with other people, the degree of intimacy, vulnerability, trust, those sorts of words, just at least with one or two. It's not a quantity thing, it is a quality of relationship with just a couple of people, to have that experience as well. And if we do that, those things are the anti-anxiety, they're the anti-narcissism, they are the anti-depression. Often these good relationships with other people, we get to share of ourselves with others, we get to learn from other people, other people will validate our skills, qualities, we can do that for others. There's this interaction that we get, you know, we can offer other people a huge amount and they can offer us a huge amount. You are similar to other people, of course, in the world, but there's nobody in the world that's like you. You're completely unique. So you have something absolutely unique to offer other people. And that's a huge amount of worth and value, and vice versa. They are the same to you. So let's hold in mind that there's huge benefits in terms of your emotional well-being, your physical well-being, that will come from overcoming this loneliness and having good, trusting, connected relationships with other human beings. And of course, the other side of that, the consequences of not are general emotional distress for human beings. Loneliness is very much side by side with anxiety, with depression, with these other states of emotional distress that people get diagnosed with. So let's really try and do everything we can to enhance these connections and bring people, relationships, nature, animals, whatever it might be, into our life in a way that's going to give us a meaningful and fulfilling life and good emotional well-being and good physical well-being as well. Okay, so there's five ideas around it. You know, I hope it was helpful. As ever, I would love to hear what you have to say. Any comments that you have on loneliness, of course, any practical suggestions and ideas that you might have around overcoming it. If you did like the video, please do give it a like. As ever, if you haven't subscribed to the channel, then please do. That would be great. For my next video, I'm going to be talking about the move from being a lawyer to psychotherapist, because a few people have asked me to do that, so I shall do that. As I say, I'm going to post the link to Annalisa's column below this when it comes out. I'm also going to post a link to something that I wrote for the Marmalade Trust, which is a charitable organisation that supports people in managing loneliness. It was about specifically men and loneliness, but of course it's of general application to all human beings. So I'll post that beneath too. I'd love to hear your comments. As ever, please do contact me via the website if you want to talk in more detail. My website, www.thistrustedplace.co.uk. My email address, jpdttp@gmail.com. And I hope you've enjoyed watching, and you take care, and I shall see you again soon.